Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. Today, I want to speak to the Christian family, that is, the family of God in Jesus Christ. Five hundred years ago, Martin Luther, a sincere, well-taught Catholic, pursuing a relationship with God where he could not get over his earthly condition, where it could relate to God. And he came to the light of a verse in Scripture, the 17th verse of the first chapter of the book of Romans, that reads, King James translation, "For the just shall live by faith." Today, we're going to speak to and attempt to remind those who are in the Word and to those who may have never heard it before, the Word of God, the Gospel. Because prior to this 17th verse, the Apostle Paul, whom God, who was himself his testimony, one born out of due time, was called by Jesus Christ to rescue, if you would, the gospel. Paul says in the 16th verse of Romans 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Well, everyone knows what the gospel is. Well, do you? The word in the Greek is evangelion, and properly translated, it's good news. But that's not where we get our word, the English word gospel, from. That word comes out of the German language, and it is Gottspiel. God speaking, God's word. We could say God's spell. Those who come under the influence of the Word of God. So let's hear the Word of God today. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," what? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Now, I'm going to give you the literal translation. Believeth is not sufficient. To everyone that is faithing. To everyone that faiths. It's a pistis word. Let's go on and we'll, you know. It says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To the Jew first because he came to his own. Jesus came to his own, the Jews. And the Jews received him not. And to the Greek, to the those who were not Jews, to the Gentiles, if you will. Seventeenth verse now complete. And I'm going to give you the literal, please. It says, he's not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. For therein, that is the gospel, in it, for therein, in it, the gospel, a, not the, a righteousness from God is revealed. Apokalyptai is the Greek word, same word that is translated in that last book of our Bible, the book of Revelation. It's the book of the apocalypse, the uncovering of things that were hid. For in it, the gospel, a righteousness of God, from God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, look, words are important, folks, and God's word is most important. So, if you have ears from God to hear his word, listen and hear what is being said. For therein is a righteousness. Dikaiosynein is the Greek word. The root is decay. In English letters, D-I-K-E. And wherever you encounter this word, decay and all its derivatives, the word should be translated in one form or another, righteousness. Let's go on. For in it, the gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Ek pistios eis pista. Now, I don't know how long this message is going to go on. So, if you're on shortwave, this message is emanating from a website called thegodschool.com. I recommend, if we don't finish today, that you go to the website to hear all the message, because it is the root of the Protestant Reformation. It is the Word of God. It is going to be putting on display the God spiel, the God speaking, the gospel of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. So, these words being translated in 117, faith to faith doesn't give us a picture, doesn't give understanding to us in the English, but the Greek adds something. It says, ek pistios eis pisten. Ek, from. Pistios, faith. What is faith? Faith is acting on the promises of God. The word in the Greek involves an action based upon a belief sustained by confidence in where one has placed that confidence. Ek pistios eis pisten, from faith to faith. Pisten. It's a different, can you hear? It's a different word. It's of the same root, but the context is this word pisten is in the accusative case. And it has to do when we start acting on God's word, when we start elevating our hearts to God's word and doing it in confidence, God adds faith. And Paul is going to expound on this later on in this most wonderful epistle of Paul to the Romans. This faith faith, pistios, is in the genitive. It causes something to happen. We generate faith, and when that faith is generated, God adds his faith. It's done passively. No action by the recipient. For this faith is one that is received. It's something that is being done unto. It's an outside action. It's not generated from inside. Paul goes on to tell us in the third chapter comparing Jews to Gentiles, not one is better than another. He says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's is none that seeketh after God. But he goes on to say in the 20th verse, and you have to get this whole message to comprehend what God, through the Apostle Paul, is expounding on the gospel. The 20th verse of the third chapter says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be, it says justified. This is a DK word, folks. There shall no flesh be righteousified in his sight, that is God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law was given, not that man might be saved by the law, but that understanding might come that we cannot achieve salvation by ourselves, by the works of the law. For the law required personal, perpetual perfection, performance of that law, and none of us could do it. But that law, but in the understanding of that, it gives us hope. For God had hope in his creation. Now, let's read on. But now, again, a righteousness of God without the law is manifested, is revealed, is being put out there to understand. He says, but now something new is happening. It is the New Testament. It is the gospel. But now a righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets on that Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appeared with Christ, so much so that sometimes foolish Peter said, oh, let us build three temples. No, Moses was there, the representative of the law. Elijah was there, representative of the prophets, to witness Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Even a righteousness, you know, the law was an example of God's righteousness. It was a standard that only God could do. It was the law, a righteousness of God. But now, a righteousness of God without the law is manifest, even a righteousness of God, which is by, and the literal is, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. There's the piston, folks. There's that faith that we receive. If you had the Arabic, it would say, or any other of the Semitic languages, it would say, a righteousness of God by the amen of Jesus Christ, by the no doubt of Jesus Christ. For God had promised him, if he would do what he did, that was to give his life. For us. That means to die. God would raise him up. He was dead, folks. Not poetically, dead as a doornail. No life. But God would give him life and raise him from the dead. This is the resurrection. It goes on to say, even the amen of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all the ones faithing, for there is no difference. Why no difference? Because that faith of Jesus Christ generated by our faith puts us in Christ, where there is no difference. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified. No, being righteousified freely by his grace, unmerited favor, through the redemption that is the price paid to restore us to God's original purposes. Second, now we're using the Apostle Paul as a guide through this to this understanding of a righteousness of God, which is found in the gospel, in the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, that is God, made him, that is Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was the personified law in the flesh, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that is, in Christ. The psalmist in Psalm 71 says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, that is God's righteousness, even of thine only, even of your righteousness, God only. Jesus makes this statement in the 6th chapter of Matthew. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That was about to come to the world by Jesus Christ and his life and death and resurrection. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the 4th chapter of the book of Romans, 6th verse says, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Imputeth. I didn't write it down. I'm trying to think of the word. It's logistomai. To speak. We said, John says, in the beginning was the word, the logos. It means to speak. God imputeth righteousness without works. Back to Piston. That which we receive. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him that is of God, God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Paul speaking to the Galatians of the grace of God and of God's righteousness in us, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain. I want you to turn now to the book of Philippians. It's called Paul's Joy Letter. Ninth verse of the first chapter says, and this I pray, that God's love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I'm going to go back to that for a minute, in a minute. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere, that is, see through and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. You know, God did not give the King James Bible to Moses on Mount Sinai. This King James Bible, which I use principally, but through many that came before me, used many helps to try to gain the fullest understanding of God's word. I don't understand it all, but what I do understand, I do proclaim from this pulpit, thegodschool.com, So Paul says, and this I pray, that God's love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Man, that's not the word. It's a bad translation. In other words, somehow or other, as you gain knowledge, you have the ability to judge. No, the word in the Greek is anathesis. Anathesis. And it means that you might have perception, not only by the senses, but by the intellect, cognition. Folks, discernment. That we might recognize through knowledge what God has done for those who are His in Christ Jesus. That ye may approve. That is, put it to the test. God's not going to fail the test. We fail all the time. Put God's word to the test. God is faithful. He won't. His word will not fail the test. But things are excellent. No, that ye may approve the things that differ. I started out speaking about Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation. And, you know, what we have come to today is, I'm not sure what you call it, because as the Catholics had at one time dominion over all the church and were wrong in their teaching because they taught works. They followed a guy by the name of James, who was in opposition to God's man, Paul, an apostle, a sent one. James was never an apostle. If we went on in that third chapter of Romans, it would say Paul draws the conclusion of what he was started out in Romans 1:17, that the just shall live by faith, the righteous by faith shall live. Paul concludes in that third chapter . He says in the 28th verse, therefore we conclude that a man is righteousified by faith. Whose faith? The faith of Christ, that one who had no doubt that God would do what he said he would do. Therefore we conclude that a man is righteousified by faith, without the deeds of the law. We're going to try to draw this to a conclusion. Although Paul said it very well. Therefore, we conclude that a man is righteousified by faith, that's the faith of Jesus Christ, when we begin to trust God, to grab hold of his word, to act on his promises. God adds the faith of Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace are you saved, through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not quite finished yet. I want to continue on in that book of Philippians. Paul says this. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was taught at Gamaliel, the great teacher of the Jews in that day. He says, this is kind of a self-testimony, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law. I think he was going a little beyond what was true, but he said, a Pharisee. Blameless. But what things were gained to me? This is all that his performance of the law. But what things were gained to me, I count it loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Any of you out there regretting what you've lost? Paul says, count it as dung. It's not law, count it as dung. Who wants to say dung? You know, if you don't know what that word means, it means shit. Count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, which is of works, which is of performance, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul was still alive here, and he's looking for the resurrection of the dead. That's the hope Paul had. That's the confidence he had in God's word, that though dead, he would be raised. And he couldn't listen to me, please. Listen to Paul, please. Not as though I had already attained. Either we're already made perfect. Teleos is the word, made complete. Folks, you're listening to an unfinished product. I'm talking to unfinished products. But in Christ Jesus, we all shall be made complete, or to use the words of the King James, be made perfect like Christ. Not as though I had already attained, either we're already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In the Hebrews letter, speaking of Jesus, I'm turning pages, I hope you can hear it. In that second chapter, in the 16th verse, it says, speaking of Jesus, for verily he took not hold on him, the nature of angels, but took hold on him, the seed of Abraham. The word is epilembano. It's a synonym for this word apprehend. It means to reach down with a hand to help. God is reaching down to his to help. I love this word of God. It does give me hope. By his grace, it does increase my knowledge, and by knowledge, my confidence in God that he will do. He has done, he will do, he is doing, he will do what he said. It speaks of Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Paul, in the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we're not going to go into all of it. I recommend that you read it for yourself and understand a little of the priesthood. That is, the one representing God's people to God. Speaking of Jesus, the Lord swear and will not repent, will not change his mind, thou art a priest forever. But this man, Jesus, because he continueth ever, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God. But this man, because he continueth forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he, Jesus, is able to save them to the uttermost. Is able to save to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This word, intercession, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I'll just give you the meaning. two words. The prefix is en, and when in the Greek, when you see the word en or n, it intensifies something. It says, to strike or hit the bullseye spot on, to hit the mark, Paul says that he might attain the mark of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I'm pausing. Is the power of God unto salvation. Soterion is the word, and in its meaning, it's all that God intended us to be. And we shall see it one day over there as God has put us in Christ. We don't see it today. Paul says he's not perfect yet. But the word proclaims God shall sanctify or make complete all the ones in Christ over there or in eternity. Not by the works of man, not by the works of me, not by the works of you, but by the works of God is what the gospel is proclaiming. It is the work of God that brings salvation. That's the God School for today.